Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
The funny stuff
intro.
Have you ever heard my voicemail?
No, what's your?
George Costanza. Believe it or not, Matt isn't at home. Leave a message at the beep. It's Seinfeld. George was screening this girl's calls, and he didn't want her to call him, so he would listen to it, and he left a voicemail saying he was out. You guys ready?
Oh, that's what it was. Not just his balls.
I thought we started already.
No, I'm waiting to start. I'm trying to do the intro, but everyone keeps talking.
I'll probably just edit that part and then put that as the intro.
You sure? Do you understand how difficult this is to do
for us? Oh, I'm well aware of this. It's hard when you gotta run the official podcast of the Funny Stuff Comedy Club.
You got a fucking gangster.
Chris is aware of the ins and outs.
Yeah. You guys ready? All right. I'm going to do the original and just welcome to the Funny Stop Podcast, official podcast. Welcome to the Funny Stop Podcast, the official podcast of the Funny Stop Comedy Club. I'm your host, Matt Brady, and joined us every week is my co-host, Devin Connor.
Hey!
And this week we've got today, Wednesday's headliner, and last night, Tuesday's also, a good friend of ours, Annie, started out here in the Cuyahoga Falls area. You guys, give a warm welcome to your headliner and guest this week, Chris Clem.
Hey, everybody.
Chris Clem's our friend, so this is not going to be awkward at all.
I'm your friend, and I'm willing to admit it on the public record.
That speaks volumes to us.
Well, it speaks volumes to me. Everybody always asks me, how do I get friends? Every podcast we did, they asked you how you became friends with me, Devin. And you told them about how I was belligerently drunk at a show.
Oh, I listened to this when I was working on some artwork. It was with, it had a rap intro or something.
Yeah, it's the Damcast.
Damcast, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, I hated Brady when I met him too. And you said that on the podcast with Marv.
Yeah.
So, you're just one of those people you just gotta know for a long time.
Well, that or you just gotta wait for me to bring you video games.
Well, yeah. Well, to be fair, you are very what's the word I'm looking for? Your overconfidence is alarming to some people. You know what I mean when you first meet you.
Well, that's what I always say to comics. Whenever I'm like, you just have too much confidence for what you're doing. Like, dude, it took me years of being like my dick in the dirt before I could be like, you know what? I don't give a shit anymore. I'm just going to be make me everywhere
no,
I go.
No, that's good. That's how you should be.
You do own the delusion.
Dude, which I think is... I do. I drive a motorcycle of lies on a highway of delusion, dude, and I've never gotten lost. Don't need directions, dude.
Also, the way you talk, too.
Yeah, like, dude, I tell everybody that, like, that one night after your show, where me and you were hanging out and we were going out to eat, we were doing kind of illegal thing, and, I love
peyote
how you did.
For the listeners.
Just putting me on blast.
They went on a vision quest, but it was in downtown Kent, so they were surrounded by brick buildings. Well, it threw them off.
We were going to Steak and Shake, and I remember you were telling me, that's my problem with stand up. He's like, you're funny, your material's alright, you're kind of abrasive and aggressive, but your look and your sound does not match.
Yeah, you sound like a jazz musician from 1970s, like an old 62-year-old black guy, like, hey, turkey jive cat hips.
The one thing you said
to
me
jive talk.
At the show when I was wearing a leather jacket, and you said I look like I should be ill-fitted leather jackets on BET late night.
Like, I feel like
I vaguely remember that.
That was really funny.
If you were in 1920s Akron, like, you would still fit right in.
Oh, yeah.
People would be like,
I'm white. I'll fit in anywhere in any time frame.
Yeah.
Well,
you will force yourself to fit in. It doesn't matter how round the hole is and how square you are. You're just like, make it fit.
How square
it's
I
in
am.
There. Yeah.
Please.
Well, okay. Sorry.
But Chris Clem, the headliner, you got your start in this area, right? You got your start at this club?
Technically, yes.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, because I don't really count my first time performing. My first three times I did stand-up, I don't count.
Why?
Because I didn't do it again for like 3 years.
Sounds exactly like I did.
So the first two times was at the University of Akron in fall 2004 at the Starbucks and the Student Union at the open mic where they had such restricted rules that the second week... That's not far.
Was it like a poetry slam type of deal? Like
no.
Starbucks crowd?
Yeah, kind of. It was like all students that were like actors or stuff like that, or musicians, like singer-songwriters. And I saw it, and my friend's like, oh, there's open mic. You got to do comedy. So I called them, and they're like, oh, we've never had a comedian before. We'd love that. And I never did comedy, so... I was at work on Friday night. I wrote my whole set out while I was working at the deli at Stutzman's in Cuyahoga Falls, which is out of business now. Then I went there and it went great. Like it could not have possibly gone any better. Like people were coming up like, that was so hilarious, everything. And I thought it was awesome. And then the next week, this guy started heckling me the whole time. And you weren't allowed to curse and you weren't allowed to make fun of anybody that was there because it was like a supportive community.
Ew.
So I was not allowed to say anything to him. Which meant I tried to do my second set ever the whole time while this dude who was there with this girl that he was trying to impress just made fun of me, and I was not allowed, because then I was definitely a rule follower. I would not go against those rules because I didn't know it's comedy, just break the rule and ask for forgiveness later. So I just stood there and took it, and then I was like, fuck this, and I didn't come back for 2 years.
What would you have done now if you
Oh, I would have smashed him now. His girlfriend would not have sex with him that night. I would rip on him that bad.
Do you remember when a certain man wearing like a pimp top hat started yelling stuff at you? Like, I want to say it was a few months ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do cocaine.
Yeah. Papa Shango sitting in the front row with his little hook lizard claw necklace.
That's what happened to me, though. I got my first start here at the Comedy Club, did the contest, and I got into the finals, came back the second time. I got heckled within the first 30 seconds, and I didn't know what to do, and I sat the mic down, quit for like 3 years. And then I think the second or third set I ever did was at the Vortex, and I ran into you. And I don't know if I don't care if you remember or not, doesn't matter.
I remember very well. This is also why at first I was like, okay.
Yeah, I put the mic back in the stand while I was doing a cat joke.
You said afterwards, you were like, man, I've been doing comedy a long time. I got like 35 minutes of material. Yeah. I was like, I've never seen you before.
Yeah.
And
so,
based on that, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. So that's where I learned real quick to like quit being a dick real fast. I remember you were drunk, or you were not really drunk or something, but you kind of came over and just said, something, 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 laughed, like pointed, laughed at me and walked away.
Yeah, probably. I can be a huge asshole.
No, it was funny looking back on it.
I'm nice, but I don't get that when you present yourself the way I do and you're bigger than a lot of people, they immediately think you're mean whenever you say anything to them. I found that the hard way.
Chris, the jolly old dick.
Well,
it's like you're a dick, but it's like, yeah, but we could be friends after, right?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of comics can't ever take a joke, man.
That's true.
They love to say jolly. I know, because it took me a while for you. You love to bust balls.
Oh, dude, I love busting balls because that's like the truest sign of friendship when you know somebody good enough to make fun of them for something.
Well, I was at I did an open mic where you get judged last night, which is, I don't know how I feel about that.
Wait, is this one in Indiana?
Yeah, it was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was pretty fun, but the people who were judging, you know, they were supposed to, like, insult you afterwards if you did poorly. Ooh. And I did, like, a minute and a half bit that just bombed hard. and like, I knew it. I was like, yeah, okay. Eating this one. This sucks. And then afterwards, only one of them really made fun of me, and everybody else was just kind of quiet. And I was like, that feels way worse than insults.
Yeah, because then it's like, he's not even, if we make fun of him, he'll be shattered, and he might never do comedy again.
Yeah. I was like, what the, guys? Come on, tell me I suck. Tell me I suck. I need to hear I suck. You're right if you say it.
I want to clarify something, too, on that point is I do bust balls, but I always have with, like, me and my group of friends in high school and stuff, we're all ball busters. I mean, I still remember I had a friend who got married to a Canadian woman.
Okay.
And he kept making fun of my other friend about, I don't know if he hadn't had sex or something like that. Oh, something. I don't want to get too personal, but it was something about his sex life. And he goes, at least I don't need a passport to get laid. And it was like, boom, right there.
That's actually really funny.
So that's the kind of stuff me and my friends always did. So that's why I just assume. I forget most comics are like very socially awkward and stuff.
Well, yeah, all of us, I think, are a little autistic. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big Asperger-y guy. Until I get a little drinky-poo in my system.
I don't think that autism usually goes away with alcohol, but
no,
I guess
my,
we can,
found the cure.
We can operate on that premise if we want.
We just got to get those kids drunk, then they'll be fine.
Dude, you know how funny that would be to go to like the Special Olympics and give them all like alcohol and give them some liquor and cigarettes?
Rush Wild Turkey to the special ed daycare.
Dude, could you see how much drool would be coming out of them big potato lips they have? Them retards would be walking. Dude, that would be so funny. Get a retard drunk.
Is it too late to take my name off this podcast?
I think we could have left it at probably before we said the retards and potato lips.
Yeah, potato lips was pretty much my line of demarcation of feeling uncomfortable.
You ever seen that, though? Like, people with Down syndrome got those big bottom jaws. They look like
so
a bulldog.
Chris, you said
bit
you, know, you weren't really a rule breaker at that point.
No, I wasn't.
When the guy was heckling you. Yeah, I just decided to steer the ship away from the rocks.
All right, let's go on a clean break away from potato lips. The third time I did stand up was at the Funny Stop. and it was in fall of 2006. And I'm going to keep going with this story until it's felt like enough time has passed that we might not go back to what Brady said. And
well, okay, wait, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but since I wasn't sure, was that going somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, never mind. Go ahead. Oh. I feel like an asshole now because
I was gonna
stop your story.
I was going to reference your dad because everybody seems to on this podcast.
I mean, it makes sense. I'm here and everybody goes,
I took Mike Veneman's Comedy 101 class and the graduation was here and my set went good. And then I didn't do it again until I graduated college. But that's also how I met your dad was I told him I took Mike Veneman's class and he was like, oh, and then that was the start.
What did the awe mean? Was it like, I should do that? Or was it like, I did that?
Or was it like, having a stroke?
Yeah, it was I did that. And then he immediately had stuff to talk to me about. Because before that, he was like, all right.
Okay. Hold on, were you still into like Star Wars video games and all that stuff then?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean still?
Well, I'm saying like, because now I see you. You wear shirts now with like jackets with your sports teams and stuff. You got a Han Solo phone case and stuff. I know you talk about that stuff a lot on stage and the wrestling and stuff. Was that what you were doing then?
Yeah, my first set I did here involved Mario Kart and Star Wars and
pussy.
That's all I about remember. And yeah, well, not pussy, but going out with girls, I guess.
That's good, though.
At the time.
Well, I mean, at least you like a lot
of. I'm pounding out. It was like going on a date.
Well, a lot of new comics I've seen when they start, they don't talk about what they know. They talk about what they think is going to be funny and like.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Like. I don't get either when people start doing stand-up and they're not a writer and they're not funny as a person, then it's going to take a really long time.
Tell me about it.
Most people just quit.
Yeah, I know about that.
Well, you actually can be funny.
I'm hilarious.
I mean, I don't think being funny is your problem. I think it's a choice of words, maybe.
I don't know. Relatability. I'm relatively clean when I do my stand-up.
I remember one time you were bombing, and then you were like, oh, I'm going to do a joke about the Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, that
shooting.
Was such a good joke,
then,
dude.
Yeah, but it was like, this is the worst possible choice.
I did that here.
Yeah. That's why it was easy to think you weren't taking things seriously.
No. At all. I think you watched, and I remember I came off stage one night, this was years ago, and you gave me a dirty look, like not like a I hate you look, but you just gave me one like, wow, that was terrible. When I did an impression, I can't even believe I was saying I was doing impressions. I was doing an impression of Macho Man Randy Savage interviewing for a job at Starbucks, and I was doing an impression of him saying that he's the cream and he rises to the top. And I remember you just gave me that look, like that disapproval look, like, no,
yeah,
I'm better at you.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It seemed more like that was you trying to do something funny. I didn't watch you do that and be like, oh man, this dude watched that promo 100 times.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yes, yeah, so you even know what promo I'm talking about.
Oh, it is an awesome promo.
The cream of the crop.
He keeps putting on his head and shit.
Yeah, he pulls up the creamers.
Cream and flips them over, and then he's like, I got a sixth one. And then he
just keeps throwing them.
I actually made my wife watch that on Tuesday, and she got pissed and walked out of the room.
Have you seen the one where he just keeps spinning?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
I got his DVD.
I'm going to do a 180. Macho, face the camera.
Yeah, and he's just turned around. He's like, his neck's so thick. I don't know why I'm doing this. There's no video. And he just
Chris is turning around for everyone listening.
Mean Gene was so good at those uprights.
Man. Did you ever, speaking of wrestling, I can't remember the guy's name. He was like a really bad wrestler. Like, he never appeared anymore. It was something the hillbilly or cowboy or something. And he goes, he had like the world's worst wrestling promo.
Hillbilly Jim?
I don't know. He had blondish hair and he didn't wear any vest or anything. He just wore like the Speedos or whatever. But he was like, they said, yeah, blah, 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 blah. How are you going to do this? Yep. And that was his promo. Like, they asked what he's going to do. He's real nervous. He's like, yep.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, I've sent it to you. That was such a funny promo he did. And the same thing with, what was the big fat dude that wore the bedazzled Stormtrooper helmet that fell through the wall?
Oh, the Shockmaster.
Shockmaster.
My partner, I still remember Sting's promo, will shock the world because he is none other than the Shockmaster. And he falls straight down. And then he got Booker T saying the N-word.
Oh, dude. Is that the one where he said to Hogan, we come?
No, no, it might have been Stevie Ray, but they said, this N-word just tripped. And then the British Bulldog, this is like all off mic, but there you can hear him saying it. British Bulldog's like, he done fall on his arse. They're all laughing.
Dude, What else? Oh, Chris, you have a pretty cool podcast that's doing pretty well. I saw you broke the top 10 on iTunes.
Yes, the new and noteworthy section, not the top 10 overall. Those are all still ESPN podcasts. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
But what is your podcast?
Chris, you're famous.
I'm doing pretty good for people who aren't owned by Disney.
To be like
fair.
You get to have like your own like soul and opinions.
Yeah. And I've said many things that I believe ESPN corporate standards would have edited out of my show already.
I don't know that as a fact though. I feel like more just like cuss words, but like you can say some pretty stupid stuff and they're like, yeah, that's fine. Like,
well, that's true. I do edit out all the F and S words.
It's like you just have to dumb it down though. They're like,
that's true. Well, I don't know if they would have let me do a phone call as Jason Williams and talk about murdering my limo driver. And then say, why isn't Jason Kidd in trouble? He beat his wife. I think the NBA wants everybody to forget about that.
Wasn't it ESPN that said they fired someone for saying chink in the armor about their team's defense?
No,
it was the New York Times.
Yeah, the New York Daily News.
Oh, okay. The Daily News. That makes way more sense why they would
publish
that.
Whatever the tabloid is.
It really shows you guys I know about sports. I should listen to your podcast.
You should. Now that we have a new segment called Kristen's Basketball Terms, where my wife will read the definition of a basketball term each week. The first one was pivot foot.
On some level, when I was listening to it, I was like, "So is she really just gonna tell us what it means?" Yes. And I was almost upset that I listened to it, and then I just started laughing my ass off, and I was like, "All right, I like the segment."
That should be your reaction. It goes past being dumb, I hope, into being funny, because she's convinced there's people that are just listening for all the takes that aren't about sports. I don't get who she thinks
she's
helping.
So she thinks people are going to listen to a sports podcast to hear stuff that's not pertaining to sports?
Yeah, well, she wanted to be my first ever official guest, and I said, okay, what are we going to talk about? And she goes, well, we could just talk about basketball. And I was like, about what? And she's like, free throws and three-pointers. And I was like, how about this? And then she looked up terms because she started doing research, so she had things to talk to me about. But she wasn't going to talk to me about the Cavs season. She was just looking up generic basketball terms.
She just wanted like the terminology.
Like dribble drive. Like that's coming up. Kyrie Irving's the master of the dribble drive. Tell us more about that, Kristen. So I was like, why don't you just read the definition?
That would be really
and
funny,
I'll put
though.
Them in.
Like, ask her opinion about something. Like, because I watched the one game with Kyrie when he did the Tide shot. What was your opinion about that? I think that'd be pretty funny to do with her.
Yeah, I might.
That would be funny. Because I listened to the term one. That was funny.
Yeah, we recorded 10, so they'll be trickling out. And I had to write a sentence for her to use them in because she was unable to do that on her own.
But I think what makes it funny is that it's so clear. It's very well-intentioned. Like, it's not like – it's not just dry. Like, she's happy to be doing it. But clearly it's just coming from, like, I know very little. So if you're listening, you know absolutely, and which is going to be – everybody listening to it is going to be like, yeah, I knew what that meant.
Exactly. You get mad, and then you're like, why am I mad at that? That's funny. But I just think – I think it is funny to think there's people who are getting their first exposure ever to basketball on this very specific Cavs podcast.
What's the name of your podcast so people can find it?
It is the Chris Clem Cavs Cast, a.k.a. the C4 Podcast, and – you can find it at C4Pod on Twitter or at chrisclem.net/podcast. It's also on iTunes under the C4 Podcast. And it's done so well that it overtook the four church podcasts that were called the C4 Podcast and now comes up as the number one result on iTunes.
Wait, there was a church podcast called the C4?
There was four. There was C4 Church, C4 Christian, C4 Explosion, and then like Catholic, Christian, Church community, C4 podcast.
I don't think that's a smart idea to call like a peaceful religion thing C4.
I didn't get it either.
Suck it, church people. Basketball wins.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have technically would have went with that one.
And it is great that it's specific Cavs basketball that is beating out religion podcast.
What I felt so great.
Such a general.
I felt great when I looked on the iTunes new noteworthy, and it was all the way up to number 4 for all the sports podcasts, and the first 3 were all like big production company ones, and mine was the only one in the top 25 I looked that was specifically about one sports team.
So
it's
you get
like
the
as niche as possible.
See, I kind of want to, Devin,
I kind of want
to like kick you off this podcast and start my own one. I'm going to call it the K-Cubed. And it's just going to be me talking about math equations that don't mix with interracial numbers. You can add a car crash there. Put a toilet flushing right there.
I wish I even knew what to say back.
It was
to
a
that.
Racial joke. KKK cubed is a math number. God, Jesus Christ! In my head, it was so good. And then I realized how dumb it was.
In your
I was
head,
listening.
Racism is immediately funny for some reason.
Bullshit.
No when what? When did you have
when'd
it?
When did you have it?
Have what?
When did you have it?
Have what? Had what?
When
KKK? That's what I was talking about. Pete got real excited.
When did you have it?
Have what?
I think he thought it was a sex thing.
I don't think Pete really knows sometimes what we're saying in English.
Oh, he picks up on stuff.
Yeah, I think he just kind of hears certain words.
Context clues.
It's like a toddler.
You don't do realize this is going over the speakers. He hears everything you're saying. Okay.
I'm still waiting for Pete to release the podcast about me with Tammy Pascatelli and Nikki Glaser and Mike Polk talking shit about me.
That's what he does, too.
Coming soon.
So he's like, that means it's not serious.
Believe me, we had all those people on at the same time and had a very long, fruitful conversation.
They just had a random Funny Stop Headliners of November podcast.
Yeah, and Pete hosted it, and he said they spent an hour just talk shitting. He goes, they shit on Matt Pretty the whole time.
He invited me to come and just watch him make fun of you.
Yeah, I was like, really, Pete? That's a great podcast.
Actually,
I can't wait to...
Actually, he did do a private show one night at the club.
Who did? He did?
Oh, yeah.
He did a set?
Oh, yeah.
That we played basketball together was at the Akron Rec. And the reason I was asking you earlier about the rule-breaking thing was because you got into it with one of the guys working there, and it was...
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It was probably 10 or 15 minutes long of you just...
Oh, it was... He's an idiot. That's all there is to it.
He's like, are you threatening me? You're like, no, I just said you'd do your job. And he's like, so you're threatening me.
I was like... I got mad because I was like, if I'm threatening you, I'm going to stand up and get in your face because you're like 120 pounds. So, no, I'm not threatening you. Keep shooting baskets in khakis, asshole.
Wait, the employee was wearing khakis?
Yeah. That's what they usually, that or like warm-up pants. But I couldn't really do anything about it because I was not a member. I was his guest. So you can get tossed out really easy as a guest. So I pretty
what
much
was the name of
this
country
up.
Club?
It was actually just the Akron Rec, the University
of Akron Recreation and Wellness Center.
It's a very student exclusive club, huh?
Yeah.
I went to school there for 4 years. I had a membership for 3 years after that. You'd think I'd get some love, but apparently not when they got new people working there every 6 months. They don't care.
How much money did you spend overall? About 50 grand? Yeah, screw off.
Exactly.
Speaking of spending a lot of money, you want a lot of money on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right?
Correct.
How much did you win?
$100,000.
How much did you win after taxes?
$75,000.
And what did you do with that $75,000?
I got married. I paid off all my student loan debt. I paid off my car. I went to WrestleMania. And I bought a really expensive engagement ring. That's about it.
Is that an order of importance? Like the engagement was last, WrestleMania.
No, that's probably... I was like, oh, WrestleMania. Yeah. What's up, man? He was at WrestleMania.
How many years?
Him and his friends all went on a trip, man. That's who gave us the idea to do
how
it.
How many WrestleManias have you gone to?
Now, this will be... That was 27, 28, 29, 30.
Four.
I'm going this year, it'll be five, yeah.
We know you like wrestling, Mr. Chris Clem.
Yes.
Have you ever wrestled yourself?
No, I haven't, but I was a ring announcer for like 6 months.
Did you ever have... But don't you know a pro wrestler?
Yes.
Like an underground one? Is that what you mean?
I think so. I think because I've seen him on stage a few times.
Yeah, I've seen him out.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, that's who got me that job. And the guy the whole time kept recruiting me to be a wrestler because I was bigger than everybody he had. But I thought people would take my comedy less seriously if I was a wrestler. So I didn't do it.
He doesn't even call you by your name.
Yeah, no, I'm not a person on my own. I just,
Marv, son, what's his name?
I don't exist in a vacuum without Marv being a part of it.
We have a podcast, Marv, son, and what's his nuts does.
Is that a new weekly segment? Him,
redhead guy, I fucking hate.
That should be
Marv, son.
That should be the new segment. Pete asking if you're gonna bring a girl to the club.
The segment is we do an audio podcast with subtitles for when Pete comes on. You have to download the pack. like fucking DLC.
I didn't bring women to the club with me on the Wednesday shows. He would originally have me host with 9 other people who were all also amateurs. For some reason, I just didn't want to expose anybody that I knew to that.
Wait, he had 9 hosts? Or are you talking about the little showcase thing?
No, like the, well, I don't know. What
the, like, Machine Gun show where it's like 3 minutes, 40 comics?
No, this was just one that like had a headliner, but there was like 8 other people and they did like a half hour. One of them humped a chair for like 10 minutes, took a break, told like 2 jokes, and then started just humping a chair
you
for like
just
10 more.
Put him on blast?
I don't know his name, or I would.
Oh.
Yeah, I would have said his name, but I've never seen
Jr.
him again.
No, he doesn't have that energy.
He got he did a solid 25 of chair fucking though.
Yeah?
And that man's name was Kirk Robinson. And now you know the rest of the story.
Speaking of Kirk Robinson, you guys used to have a pretty sweet podcast. It was the official podcast of Funny before we took over, right?
Yes.
What was it called?
The Pretty Swell Guys.
Who's a part of the Pretty Swell Guys?
All right, I guess.
Well, I mean, you can answer the question.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Answer it.
I was hosted by me and Kirk Robinson, and we had many frequent guests. He's not dead. He's still alive. I talked to him today. He doesn't do comedy anymore. That's true.
He just barbecues all
day. I killed his career. Marv, Devin's dad, was on it a bit. He was he held the green jacket for the most appearances on the show. And we were the Funny Stops official podcast. And then Pete got mad because he wanted us to interview every headliner, and we did not want to. I will leave it at that.
That's mean, man. That's a low blow.
No, there's some people that were very rude. You know, the podcast ended. I moved. We couldn't figure out a good way to do it because Kirk was always busy barbecuing. And then our site got taken down because GoDaddy shut down their podcast platform, and that was the end of it. Now I have my own podcast that I do by myself that is 10 minutes to 20 minutes long and no longer than that because it's by myself.
Good way to do it.
Yeah.
Not too long. Something people
Plus, it's topical. It's not like something like this where, hey, you know, it might be funny to listen to. It's so specifically about what's happening between the last one that I don't want it to be all long. People try to catch up and be like, oh, I don't want to care about what happened on February 28th.
You don't want to do like a video breakdown for like the length of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to pause.
You don't
want to
do like live Kyrie commentary with the game? Get like the director's commentary for people that can play the game back on DVR.
There's enough dry basketball podcasts that they don't need me doing another one.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, we got one more question. We always like to have a guest end on this one. What has been the craziest, worst, wildest, just a gig that sticks out in your head, be it a heckler or worst experience or just one show that sticks out?
The worst experience of my life, and this guy is going
to
be really mad about this. Yes, it might be the worst overall, too. It was Mark Colella. He's a comic in Cleveland. He got me booked on a barbecue show.
Okay.
And the show is done in somebody's backyard in the west side of Cleveland, on the far west side. It was a very nice place. And before the show, where we did the comedy for about 20 of their friends, we were given the rules. The rules were no racial jokes, which neither of us were going to make because the wife was black and the husband was white. And then no gay jokes because her sister was gay, which we weren't going to make anyway, so it wasn't a problem. And then she proceeded to tell us about how her son had been murdered the year before, but she was completely over it, and then told us for 40 minutes about all the details, about how he picked up a stranger and gave him a ride, and he thought he was being a friend and helping out his other friend, and then they dropped him off in Detroit, and he said, nobody can fucking know about this, and he shot them both in the head. But I'm over it. And while she was telling us how over it she was, tears were running down her face, and she said, I have to go inside to clean off my makeup. As soon as she walked away, the guy who owned the place said, hey, it's comedy time. They pulled out their little speaker, little boombox with the microphone attached, and they said, hey, start telling jokes. I got about 5 minutes in. It had been complete silence the whole time, and I started a joke that I do where I said, if my family ever gets murdered, and when I said, if my family ever gets murdered, I locked eyes with her, turned away very quickly, dropped the microphone down, and walked off the patio.
You walked off the patio.
Then, in order to get paid, we had to sit there while she explained to me for 45 minutes, again, about how I wasn't fucking funny. The end. I got paid, I think, $50 for it. Still worth it.
That's what comics do. We'll do any shitty show.
Mark's mad that I tell people that story.
That's a funny story.
He doesn't do the show anymore because the next year he brought Emily Davis, who also had a horrible experience there. And then when I told her about mine, she said, you knew how bad this was, and you made me go out there. So Mark doesn't do it anymore, and he blames me.
That's
Well, that's a nightmare. Why is that? he's mad at you about it?
He's mad at me for not just shutting up and finish, because I didn't do my whole time either. I was supposed to do 20. I think I did 12 minutes when I walked off.
So it was the eye lock that made you just like...
Oh, yeah. I looked at her, and I'm like, I'm going horrible, first of all. Nothing's working. And now I talked about my family being pretend murdered while looking at a lady whose family was real life murdered. I'm done. They wanted us to host the costume competition, but I declined to participate. I just stood in the corner and tried to be as far away as possible in my mind.
So you didn't want to host for the silly costumes after that?
Yeah,
you
surprise.
Don't see what wacky outfits they had on?
It made it worse is that you're in somebody's backyard. The fence is shut. There's no escape. You don't know any of these people. Mark is mad at me because he thinks I'm ruining the gig for him. And then I'm just...
Wait, this was in someone's backyard or whatever, right?
Yeah, it was in their backyard.
How could anybody be mad? Like, dude, you're ruining this gig for me. This was a big break for me. I'm in someone's backyard.
He wasn't really that mad, but he thought I was overreacting, which I was not overreacting.
No, I think you were playing it pretty cool there. You're playing it like a downtown person would. Very cool.
Yeah, I wrote a blog about it that's very detailed. But you got all the important details. That's the worst show of my life. I've had I've had memorable bad shows, but that one sticks out by far the most.
Sounds like that would do it. All right, well, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
We had fun, man.
And I know both of you and consider you both friends, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
That's cool. Do not edit that out.
It stays.
Before we go, Clem, you got any little plug-a-renos you want to get in before we get out of here?
For this area, no. I just listen to my podcast. Oh, by my DVD, chrisclem.net, the end. At Chris Clem on Twitter. Chris_Clem. I'm sorry.
No, Chris_Clem. Remember, it's not a hyphen.
And make sure to check out his podcast. Underscore. The C4.
And check out my DVD. It's really good.
On the DVD, you get to see a special appearance by the Jizz Warrior.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff on that.
Jizzlemania in full effect. He's also... the intro is pretty special.
The intro is awesome.
I'm actually on the DVD, too.
Yeah.
As well.
Devin is. He does awesome on that. Great set.
Yeah. Like, I wish I could bottle that set. Actually, I could probably just do that same set, but I just haven't since.
People still tell me to this day... because the DVD got released about 5 months ago, the people who have seen it are like, man, Devin was really funny on that.
On that, specifically on that. Well, yeah.
People that don't even know you otherwise.
I think
everybody they saw, there's people that might know other people on it, but they still thought you had the best set.
Clem,
it's really cool.
I don't think you know how to use the word people. I think you actually meant to say nobody.
Slam.
Jealous.
Ooh. Matt strikes again.
How dare those people that I know stop existing because Matt doesn't want to acknowledge that.
Devin, you suck. You've always sucked. You're always gonna suck. I'll probably edit my last part out because that did just bomb.
No.
Well,
hurry up, close it out, man.
All right, closing it out. Closing
it
out.
Like, you're the dude that takes a girl out on a date and then you're gonna get some pussy out of it.
Whoa. He doesn't bring girls out on dates. Did you not hear Pete?
It doesn't have to be the comedy club.
Nobody in the funny stopped and nobody in real life.
Yeah, if they don't come here, they don't exist.
Just, yeah, Mortal Kombat this thing. Finish it.
Come to the Funny Stop Comedy Club. 1757 State Road, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
What's that phone number?
The phone number is 330-923-4700. Also, check out funnystop.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Cheers.